Good morning. This will be my first Easter in 59 years without some kind of group activity involving other believers, since I was saved in November of 1961, even when Connie and I were in foreign countries where they did not celebrate Easter. We usually met with other Christians to observe the day. This year is different. This year, as a congregation, we will be sheltering in place in order to keep the vulnerable from being exposed to the Corona-19 virus and to comply with our governor's request to not gather in group meetings. So, here we are. No new clothes or Easter hats. No sunrise service, no breakfast afterwards, just staying home and washing our hands and looking out the window from time to time. Still, it is Easter. This is the day that we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the day when God, through his Holy Spirit, caused Jesus to come out of the tomb and to show his disciples that he had conquered death. We no longer have to die. We greet this day with a shout. He rose. Normally, we would be singing hymns about his resurrection and a new life. One of my favorites is "Because He Lives." I will sing that hymn today, and it will bring tears to my eyes, as it usually does, for the truth that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I'll probably also sing, "I Serve a Risen Savior." I believe that Easter is the most important day in all of history. Oh, I understand that Christmas is important and there are other events that have significance, but it is Easter that makes it possible for a person to get saved. The Bible tells us, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I would love to be fellowshipping with all of you right now. This is normally the biggest day of the year, but this coronavirus is just too serious for us to defy our governor's request and take the chance of infecting one of our brothers or sisters with the disease. This too will pass, and we will once again be able to meet and love on each other like old times. But in the interim, we need to be safe. That too is biblical. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Remembering that the word decently means appropriately. And social distancing at a time such as this, in the midst of a world pandemic, is appropriate. I'd like for us to take some time this morning to think about Easter and what effect it can have on everyone's life. Let's start with Matthew's account of what took place on that day so long ago. Matthew 28:1-10. Matthew 28:1-10. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go to Galilee, and there shall they see me. My question this morning is, have you seen Jesus? Oh, I know that he's in heaven with the Father making intercession for us, but have you seen him spiritually? For everyone who is born again, there has been a time when they have seen Jesus with the eyes of their soul. When they have seen him, they have desired him and have cried out to him to save them and forgive their sins, believing that God raised Jesus from the dead on that day we call Easter. For everyone who believes, God promises to forgive their sins and to give them eternal life. Because of Easter, we can have eternal life. In the 17th century, lived a scientist and mathematician by the name of Blaise Pascal. He was unique for his day in that he was also a great man of faith. I would like for you to get a pencil and paper, and there's something I would like you to write down because it's not going to make a whole lot of sense to you as I give it to you, but I would like you to write it down so that you can look at it and think about it, and perhaps sometime today you will understand what he was saying. He said these things a long time ago, and it was only until recently that they came to my attention. And so I'd like to share them with you. One of the more famous things that he wrote is, and this is what I'd like you to write down, the heart has its reasons, plural, which reason does not know. Let me say that again. The heart has its reasons, that's plural with an S, which reason does not know. Now you're going to have to think about this one before it makes sense for you. The heart has its reasons, which reason does not know. This has something to do with the distance between the heart and the brain. Then there was something else that he said which impacted me more than what he wrote. And this I would like you to write down also. This is what he said. Faith is God felt by the heart. Faith is God felt by the heart. At Easter time, I really like what he said. Faith is God felt by the heart. What a unique way of expressing what faith meant to him. With all the people deserting their faith and their churches at this time in history, we need to understand why they have lost their way in the world. They no longer feel God in their hearts. I'm afraid that we Christians are the reason that people are losing confidence in the ministry of the church. We are not being totally obedient to the Word of God. There's an element of rebellion in the lives of many who profess to know and love Jesus. When the world sees this kind of conduct in our lives, they think that we don't believe all of the Bible, and the fact is, not that we don't believe, but that we don't obey. We are not feeling God in our hearts. Others are not seeing God in all of our actions. Easter would be a time of celebration and joyful obedience. It should be. Since we can't attend church this Easter Sunday, how can we show those who are observing our actions that we are celebrating the resurrection of our Savior? For one thing, we can tell them about what the resurrection of Jesus means to us. We can tell them that we are celebrating the fact that God raised him from the dead and that we really believe that. And that if they will believe that too and call on him to save them and forgive their sins, that God has promised to do that and to give them eternal life also. This Easter Sunday, I want to take a few minutes, particularly this morning, to share some information with you about the war that is going on around you. When this country was founded and the Declaration of Independence was signed by men willing to give their fortunes and their lives to the cause of freedom from tyranny and religious persecution, two biblical principles were emphasized. The freedom to live according to the dictates of our own conscience, that was the first one, and the priesthood of the believer to intercede directly with God in their own behalf. Thereby, they were bypassing the Catholic Church and the requirement to go through the church's priest. Those two biblical principles, the ability to live according to the dictates of our consciences and the priesthood of the believer, were the foundations for the Constitution of the United States and for the Bill of Rights that accompanies it. All of the freedom that the Bible teaches, all of the freedoms that the Bible teaches come from God and not from government, and they are encapsulated within those two documents, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The government of the people, by the people, has been stolen from us without our voicing objection. Today, we have permitted the United States Supreme Court to strip away most of the First Amendment regarding free exercise of our religion. The Bible and prayer have been closely regulated by the government, not by God. We are being told that we should suspend our regular church services in the interest of our own health and the health of our vulnerable church members. Right now, that is true. But we need to examine the motive of the government officials behind the directives. For some time now, there has been a movement to take control of the people by a group who call themselves progressives. They have no compunction about lying and cheating to change the outcome of elections to achieve their desired ends. These progressives are not limited to any one political party. Members of several political parties are involved. They want a one-world government without national borders or Christian religion. As long as we have a Bible available to the public, they cannot deny the truth of God, nor the morality taught by God through the written word of God. In our public schools, it's deemed against the law to pray or quote the Bible. That is a decision made by 8 unelected men who were appointed for their lifetime to the U.S. Supreme Court. The rest of the government agencies permitted this action, and in fact, they have endorsed it as a rule of the day, even though the majority of the people do not agree with the decision. Today is Easter. Why am I bringing your attention to this movement within our great nation? We may not have too many Easters left to celebrate if this movement continues. We are in the last days that Paul referred to in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 tells us, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." You realize there is only one source of information about what happened on the first day of the week long ago. Men have been celebrating the event ever since, and belief in the event makes it possible for men to enter into a living relationship with God. We are told in Romans 10, I wrote one of the verses, this is Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Easter. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. People, this must be the message that we share with the world around us. The world will not read about the account of Jesus' resurrection in any newspaper or magazine. They will only hear about the event from a Christian or read about it in the Bible. Getting that message out is the reason that we meet as a church body and why we must live lives that promote the commands of God. We need to live in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible is the only remaining source of information about the resurrection of Jesus, and that is the message that the early church proclaimed. We must do the same before our voices are silenced by the progressive movement within our nation. It is war, and our objective is to bring the souls of men to our Savior. The objective of our enemy is to silence our voices and deny us the freedom to present the message of God through His Word to the world around us. We must not be silent. Foreign nation after foreign nation is closing its doors to Christian missionaries. Our enemy is strong and getting stronger, which is just a sign of the latter times. An important part of our church's ministry to people is the fellowship among believers. Some of you have been gathering in select homes to listen to the messages on the internet. That's been good. And you've been careful not to make each other sick. We are coming to a time when we must return to conducting regular services for the spiritual and emotional health of our church family. May 3rd will be the time that we open the church facilities for conducting of regular services. On May 3rd, we will be open for Sunday school, morning worship service, and evening service at the regular times. I would strongly emphasize that if any of you are in any way ill, whether it be the sniffles or a headache or upset digestive system, that for the sake of your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you not attend. But if you're absolutely healthy, you would be invited and welcome to join us for fellowship with the rest of those who want to attend our regular on-site services. If you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, that's okay. If you feel more comfortable wearing gloves, that's fine too. I'm sure some will wear masks. But it's time for us to get back to the business to which the Lord has called us. Now, there is one other thing we will be doing. We will be taking the temperatures of all those who are attempting to enter the church on that Sunday, May 3rd. If you have a temperature that is above 100 degrees, then we will not permit you to enter the church because you are indicating that you have some type of an infection. And we don't want to make anyone else sick. If for some unseen reason the situation worsens, we may have to adjust our activities to meet the occasion. But for right now, we are planning on opening our facilities for regular services on May 3rd. We have a message for those who will hear. That message is, He arose. Jesus Christ is not dead. Jesus Christ arose from the dead, never to die again, and His Spirit lives in our hearts. Jesus is seated at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, making intercession for us. We want the whole world to know, and we are meeting to pray for that mission to be accomplished. Will you join us on May 3rd? Until then, We want to continue to meet via the internet. We would invite you to invite those around you to join us as we listen to the Word of God each week via this website. Father, thank you for giving us the ability to reach out into our community over the airwaves, over the internet. Thank you, Father, for each one whom you have called through the power of your Holy Spirit, through his conviction, for each one who has called out to thee, asking to be forgiven, asking to be saved, surrendering their will to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, use us to accomplish your purpose here. May we do things according to your will in your time. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do in our behalf. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.